Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And welcome to another episode of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know. I am your host, Nancy Weber, here with regular host...
Julie Eisentrager.
How are you, Julie?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I forgot to bring the music down, so I'm doing that right now.
You did.
Don't worry, it's down now, so we can all breathe a sigh of relief. We have a special guest host with us today.
Yay!
Because we're running KB... and Miranda short.
So what do you do when you're running two hosts short?
We get a guest host and a guest.
Super host.
Super host.
Josh Tier.
Josh Tier's back from episodes such as The Wild Party and...
The Producers.
The Producers and...
What was the other one that I did?
She Loves Me.
Oh, that's exact... Oh.
How could you forget?
Was that not a banger or was it a banger?
It was a banger.
That is an episode that's come up in conversation a lot because She Loves Me is now in all of our minds.
Really?
Is
sure,
it?
It's shown up on a lot of top five lists after we did that episode.
Ooh. Oh, that's just because I really like it.
But also on Miranda's and mine and KB's.
Because we all really like it.
But not only do we have a super guest, a super host, we have a special guest in...
Jess Hamm.
There we go. Jess Hamm. Actress extraordinaire, busy filming and acting and orating and being generally glamorous around the Brisbane scene.
I was just
scene.
Born fabulous, what can I say?
Fabulous!
So what are you doing currently, Jess?
I'm doing a few things, actually. Busy. So I'm involved in a film put together by Black Cats Productions. It's called Attack of the Cat People.
Hmm. Okay, let me guess. Do they all really like cats? Because I'm hearing a lot of cats right there.
Look, maybe they do, maybe they don't. We don't know whether this film is pro or anti-cat people. Jess, do you care to illuminate?
Honestly, judging from the rehearsals that we've done, could not tell you either way.
The shade.
Well, maybe it's just an exploration of cat people with no real agenda to push.
Well, they are the villains of the story, but they're quite
sympathetic.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I wouldn't say sympathetic, but you know, they're like they've got some pretty sweet choreography.
Cast of McCavities.
Oh, excellent. And you're in a musical at the moment?
I am, Ladies in Black with Briz Arts, which is fun because it's always fun to do something that's a little bit new.
Yeah, well, Ladies in Black has only just become available for independent theatre. Mm.
Right? Yes, yeah.
Exciting times. It's a good show.
Yeah.
It's a good movie as well.
Yes.
And the show's not too dissimilar to the movie.
Oh, that's cool. Who wrote the music for that?
That is a good question.
Oh, I'm on it. I'm on it.
Okay, Julie's going to research that. But... If you're ready, we have the getting to know you quiz.
I am totally ready for that. Yeah.
Now, Josh, I felt you take an inhalation of air. Are you going to sing the getting to know you theme song?
Getting to know you.
Oh, that was far too.
It was
pleasant.
Delightful.
That wasn't creepy at all.
Do you want me to do the Miranda version?
No, thank you.
The music is by Tim Finn.
Oh. Is it?
Yes.
Oh.
I believe Australian musical, music and lyrics by Tim Finn.
Yeah, oh, because we all know that Tim Finn is Australian and not a New Zealander.
And I think the book is by Carol Byrne.
He says in his, yes, correct.
Yeah.
He says in his best Kiwi accent.
It's a fabulous read as well. The the story, the actual book itself, the novel that it's based on is probably one of the happiest books I've ever read. I just, every time I put it down, I was just smiling the whole way through it.
Are you known to read only tragedies?
Tragedy.
Not just read, listen to, perform in. I love a good tragedy.
So the show that you brought us today is Parade. Mm. Yes. So let's just put a quick content warning right here. Parade is a great musical written by Jason Robert Brown, but there is discussion of sexual assault, and there's lynching. There's a lot of talk of racism also. So let's just, before we get into the fun, getting to know you stuff and talking about Parade.
Warning. You've been warned.
It might be a tragedy. We'll have to wait until.
But if you're like me and you love to cry.
Yeah. Well then. That's what this musical is for.
I do. I love getting out a tearjerker and just like fully like going for it, like sobbing all of the tears.
It clears the sinuses, doesn't it?
It makes my sinuses worse. I hate crying.
Enough about your sinuses, Julie. Let's get to know Jess. Now, Jess, which musical character would other people compare you to?
I'm just guessing here, but I'd maybe say Fiona from Shrek.
Okay.
She's a fiery redhead.
I was going to say, is it the red hair?
Yeah, mostly the red hair. I was going to say Annie otherwise, but I'm a bit past that point, people tell me. So, I can see you. I can relate to Fiona.
Cracking out some sick farts, yeah.
That is what Fiona is known for, above everything
else. You weren't supposed to tell anyone.
Now, Jess, I've seen you perform a number of times.
Yeah.
And when I was interested in what you were going to say here, because I have a very kind of obscure character that I would compare you to.
Oh.
And it's not for looks or age, so don't hold that against the role.
Oh, it's going to be old, isn't it?
Here we go.
It's an older woman.
But strap yourself in to be offended.
It's Henry Higgins' mother.
I'm there.
Because she is so self-assured and she knows what to expect from Henry Higgins.
Yeah.
And she puts him in his place. She supports Eliza and sends her on her way.
Right. Do you know who I see you in as a musical? Someone that's in for like barely 30 seconds.
But the character, Julie. I would watch a spin-off musical about that character.
Write it.
Mm. Yeah, because you have her at
her
the races.
Own her when of she's the Golden maybe Girls? A bit younger, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like not
well, no, her,
in her 60s.
Her dealing with Henry Higgins growing up. Can you imagine how insufferable he would have been as a 20-year-old?
Are we going to say the dad dies young or...?
I would assume so.
Yeah.
She is a widow,
isn't she?
She's
a widow. I believe she's a widow.
Yes, but honestly, it could be because most recently I did see you play
Elsa Schrader
yeah. in The Sound of Music, and that the poise that you had there, that was like, I see this, that kind of very classy British. Yes.
Oh, cool. No, that's fine.
General European.
Yeah. That,
you know.
No, that's good.
Where's pearls? On a regular basis.
Good casting. Good
big
casting
hats.
Is what we can say.
And big hats. But what musical character would you like people to compare you to if it isn't Henry Higgins' mother?
I'm going to put a pin in that one and come back to that later maybe
okay.
when I'm a bit older. But I know, I see what you mean. She's very fabulous. But it's interesting you brought up Elsa Schrader because the person that I would like to be compared to, the character I'd love to be compared to is Elsa.
Right.
A Nazi sympathiser. I see. Yeah, I see.
Because of all the reasons you just said, I was like, I would love people to see me as poised and like I've got all of my stuff together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I do not.
But you're a good actress. That's what counts, right?
And when I'm on stage, I'm like, she's so polished and sophisticated, and I think she was, it's interesting because I had like a little bit of a confidence sort of shake up the year before and then she was the first character I have played since then and I just went, oh my god, like they saw me as this character? That's amazing. I want to be this character every day of my life. I literally went out shopping for work clothes and I was like, that top is Elsa. I'm getting that.
Well, that's great because, yeah, she is so self-collected. She knows who she is and she knows what she wants and she knows what she's going
the
to
get. The two people...
I'm thrilled that you see me as that. That's amazing. Yeah.
Two people we listed for who she's like is Cece from The Nanny and Meredith from The Parent Trap.
Both like, of who
feel
I love.
Some poise.
Mm.
Yeah, but I love both of those characters. Like they're so in charge of their own destiny, and I think as well the fact that they don't confine themselves to what society says a woman should be. That's kind of cool.
Absolutely, because Elsa and Maria never descend into catfight, which is would be the easy story to tell in The Sound of Music, where they're both just like, okay, we both exist in this space.
Yep.
Let's see what happens.
Subtle snark.
There is subtle snark.
I loved that scene. That was my favorite one. I'm like, this is the one I'm going to learn my lines on first because this is the one I have to get so perfect.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Wonderful.
Well, speaking of Elsa,
mm-hmm.
what is your dream role?
It's going to be a bit lame, but it's just true to who I am. And I've played her before, but it always will be Fontaine in Les Mis.
I mean, why is that lame?
Well,
Les Mis is one of the most popular musicals of all time.
I know, and that's kind of why, right? Because everyone expects you to have like this sort of offbeat, you know, off Broadway show that you love this character from. But I love her self-sacrifice. I love the fact that she's a mum. And a single mum in that era that, you know, fought so hard for her baby girl. And I wish there was more of her in Les Mis. Every time her story ends, I'm just like, I'm zoning out of the rest
of it. If only she didn't die.
Yeah.
Or
you hear more of her story before she died. Yeah.
This is a lot of us making prequels today.
Yes, because if you read the book, her story with Ptolemaeus and how she fell in love and, you know, I find it beautiful.
It is a hefty read.
It is, but I think it's
Fontaine's
worth it.
Volume.
I only read the Tenardier's volume.
All right, okay. Well, let's get into the real musical composition question.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, wait, not that yet.
What's your favourite Sondheim show?
Closer.
Ooh, I'm going to, again, be totally like type B personality here and go what everyone says is Into the Woods.
Not too
Woods,
many people have said it.
Really?
Into the Woods, Sweeney Todd, but also Sunday in the Park has got a fair few votes.
Oh. And Into the Woods has been
Company
deleted
also.
Once.
Into the Woods has been deleted
Who deleted
once.
Into the Woods?
Sunday in the Park has also been deleted once, so let's not...
Not offended by it.
Sweeney, I believe, has also been deleted. Look, we get a lot... We get performers from across the spectrum here.
We do.
But can I just say for a more abstract one, I did have a backup, but not because, I mean, the show as a whole is good, but just for the one song is Evening Primrose.
Right.
That's a musical.
The song I remember. Yeah. It's beautiful. That
Thanks
song.
For taking over my role, Josh.
Evening Primrose, it's an evening. Is that how it goes? Is that like the opening number?
That does sound how Sondheim would write lyrics.
That sounds very Sondheim.
Very wordy.
All right. Well, so what's your go-to shower song, Jess?
It's pretty much whatever show I'm rehearsing at the time. So currently, it's Sales Talk from Ladies in Black.
Yeah.
Because there are some real fun, jazzy harmonies in that. And it's a lot of fun.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And... now is the controversial one where you have to destroy one musical's dreams of ever being put on again, ever.
Okay, so I kind of had two answers for this, but I wasn't like sold on the first one. So the first one I had was The Great Comet.
Oh,
because I
good
don't
choice.
Understand it. And I'm not saying that it's bad, but it's just very, very niche.
Did you see it on Broadway?
No.
Yeah, no. So they're quite famous for it, having the program, stating in the program, read the story because you will not understand this musical without knowing this story. Because it's based on War and Peace, which is
A giant novel.
Again,
which is
a hefty slog.
But
like twice the size of Les Mis.
Yeah. So they tell the story in the program and it's like, these are just, listen to the songs and enjoy them. Yeah. But you won't understand the story unless you read this.
But like the mix of Russian folk song and tech. I was just like, what? What a interesting choice.
I mean, that's your first choice.
But I mean,
and I'm happy to let it stand, even though you've made a lot of people angry. And maybe you should just go into hiding for a couple
Never
of
getting
weeks.
Cast again.
All I just want to say is I'm not deleting Cats.
You can't. It's been deleted 9 times.
But my second choice was First Wives Club because it's awful and I feel like the movie deserves a better musical.
Oh, see, I feel the same way for Beaches.
It's a I did not know the First Wives Club was a musical.
It is. And it, oh, the movie is just so fabulous.
The fact that it's a bad musical makes me very angry.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, me, yeah.
Well, now I have to listen to it and judge it.
Harshly.
You will judge it pretty harshly. Yeah. It's super boring.
All right. Okay. Well.
So I want to delete that so we can redo it.
Okay. Good. Oh, that's all right. I'll allow that. Okay. Well, that's all we need to know about Jess. Let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about Parade. Alrighty, so what can you tell us about Parade, Jess?
Well, it is a musical, funny enough. It's composed, composed by Jason Robert Brown. So you know the music is going to be good.
Best friend of the show, Jason Robert Brown.
Best friend of the show.
Who's now liked 2 of our posts on Facebook.
We are virtually famous.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, he just loves us. So that's that. That's excellent. That. Nothing to do with Google Alerts or sharing directly from his page. It's just he loves us.
Yeah. So it has a book by Alfred Urey and it is essentially the dramatization of the true events surrounding the 1930 criminal trial of Leo Frank.
Yeah.
The controversial story was brought to Jason Robert Brown by Harold Prince, actually.
That's because Sondheim didn't want to
do it. Sondheim turned him down.
This would have been a very interesting one for Sondheim to do because it's – because it's based on true events, whereas I think Sondheim likes to approach things from an abstract angle, like telling a story like this. I don't know how Sondheim would have dealt with that. And we never will, but Jason Robert Brown did.
Maybe Sondheim would try and make it a verbatim musical. Everything think, taken from the trial.
I think that's the exact opposite of Sondheim.
It really is.
but I think like – I'm pretty sure that it was Brown's first Broadway project as well.
Was it?
Oh.
Well, what I read.
Yeah, yeah.
And it premiered at the Vivian Beaumont Theatre in December 1998 and resulted in him winning the Tony for Best Original Score in 99.
Yeah.
Crushing it.
Yeah.
other awards were the 99 Tony for Best Book, and it won 6 Drama Desk Awards, including Most Outstanding Actor, Actress, Orchestration, Music, Book and Musical. And then in its London premiere in 2008, it was nominated for 7 Olivier Awards.
Yeah, it was very highly regarded and still is to this day. It has been put on again by Donmar, I think, and that is a very highly thought of production as well. They changed a few things for that production. They cut a few songs and they staged it differently.
Yeah, it does feel like it's still a work in progress with a lot of things. Like the music itself stands alone.
Yes.
But there are like a lot of scenes that feel like they need a little bit of work. Given the nature of the story, I guess,
really tough. Like, because you're dealing not only with like real people and real history, but you're also dealing with like very touchy subjects.
Yes.
Because this is the case and the situation that spawned both like the rebirth of the KKK after the lynching, and then also the Jewish civil rights.
That's right.
Yeah.
Advocacy group. I can't remember what they're called.
I can make something up, but
it caused a huge uproar.
The Jewish civil rights organization. There you go. So,
Well, the reaction was that the critics praised it. They loved the show, but the audiences weren't as on board because of the controversy. And in the South, there were so many people who still believed like are still so adamant that Frank is guilty. Yeah. It resulted in the show closing just 3 months after opening.
Yeah.
Ooh, so savage.
It was savage. For such a, you know, amazing show, for it to only get like 3 months on Broadway, it's crazy.
Mm. Well, you know, yeah, you do see that. But, yeah, as soon as there is controversy, Broadway does not like controversy.
Mm.
So because there is so much money going into it, I guess.
Mm.
But it's just crazy to think like shows like Legally Blonde have lasted longer.
Well, there's no controversy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
If you can sit there with Sequins and Sparkles and clap your hands along, that's you're not going to close anytime soon.
Here we go, Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can still clap along to Chicago if you really want.
Yeah, yeah. I guess we'll just a quick rundown of the story, mm-hmm. just bare bones. Now, Leo Frank is a factory owner who with his wife has moved to the south from the northern states of America, mm-hmm. or the USA. Now, there is a death that occurs in the factory and Leo is blamed. A death of a young girl. And so that is then put on trial. He's found guilty, but then the departing governor pardons him. Now, the governor did do due diligence and review the case, but on his way out, he basically pardoned him from a death sentence to life in prison.
Can you imagine it on your last day at work? You're like, you know what? Life in prison. That's fine. You don't need to die. Bye, guys. I'm out.
I mean... That was pretty glib what you just did there. Like, just like, oh, you know, maybe I won't kill you today.
You know what? Maybe not. Yeah. Oh, hang on, let me flick through your case again. Flick, flick, flick. Yeah, all right.
10,000 pages of recorded testimony.
Let me flick through it real quick. Flick, 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 flick. Yeah. Bye, guys.
So when he was moved prisons, he was then abducted by a group of people, taken to the girl's hometown and lynched. And that is the basis of the story. Now, it's never in the musical, it's never particularly clear whether or not he did it.
In real life it wasn't either.
No, and that's the thing. It's always kind of you don't see anything happen. You see the girl go into his office to ask for her pay, and then suddenly something happens and she's found dead.
So weird.
And then it's all the hearsay and the evidence.
Like mass hysteria, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have a few triggers that make me very angry, and mobs are one of them.
Yes.
This musical is just kind of mob justice.
Even in Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah. I mean, yes, they're the villain in Beauty and the Beast.
I know, it just makes me happy.
And again, they're the villain here because it's not justice what happened
it's
to
not.
Him.
And also the media representation as
absolutely.
Well and how they affected the outcome.
Ask a really awkward question?
Yes.
I often hear of, like it says... he was hung from an oak tree or hanged from an oak tree, mm-hmm. which I've never agreed with that, but whatever. Oak tree. Is that – I've heard of people hanging people from oak trees a lot.
Yes.
Is that a thing? That I just
– Maybe they're just extra sturdy.
I was going to say, are they super sturdy trees?
They also have a tendency to grow up and then out.
Out. Mm. Oh, so the branches aren't that too far to get to.
No,
to
so they don't like branch out from the bottom of the trunk. They grow up and then out, so you can like loop a rope up and over.
Grim,
it.
But thank you for that information.
Easier to grow than like a mango tree or something.
Yeah, and,
like that.
Well, and also oaks, if they survive for a long time, they're very sturdy.
Mm. Oh, so, yeah. Scary!
It is scary, and I think JRB did a really good job of giving this the gravitas that it deserved.
Yeah,
and not just telling it from because JRB is Jewish. So there would always be the tendency to tell it from Frank, from Frank's perspective.
Yeah.
And you do get a lot from Frank's perspective. And I also love that he tells it from his wife's perspective a lot as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Interesting fact, if I can just pipe
in.
Yeah,
no, here, absolutely.
Is that Alfred Urey, who wrote the book, was actually the grandnephew of the owner of the pencil factory that Leo worked at.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
So he had sort of like an insider scoop, and it was his great uncle that basically told him and passed on the love story that exists between Lucille and Leo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And just how, like, the one beautiful thing to come out of this, like, horrific story was their passion for each other.
Yes, yeah, the dedication.
Yeah, And I think, you know, they've gone on to – both Brown and Yuri have both gone on to describe Parade as a love story at its core. So it's – yeah.
It really does kind of – lose that towards the end, though, unfortunately.
Well, because All the Wasted Time is the second last song, I believe, before the lynching.
All the Wasted Time, yes.
Mm. Yeah. So I think without making it too, like, sappy or whatever, they kind of do draw that full circle with Leo and Lucille.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something I really appreciate as well. And their side of things is always counterbalanced by the craziness of the media, what's going on in the courts, the ridiculous testimonies that are happening, the questioning and what's going on is always met with this this very small story of Frank and Lucille.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, it's very interesting. And I think we see JRB do a very similar thing in last 5 years where there's two perspectives and they're treated very equally. So that's why I really like this musical. I find it very draining to listen to because it's just so – it's so intensely emotional.
It's a bit bipolar too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like you've got like this up-tempo jazzy number and then you're like come crashing down with this slow, depressing legato.
And those up-tempo jazzy numbers, they're the townspeople song and those are the ones that make me the angriest.
Yeah, or Jim Conley, the reporter.
Again.
There's just no time for you to be happy in this.
There's no reprieve.
You're not getting a break in this. Musicals.
And honestly, that's probably what's intended.
Yeah.
Because of the actual content of the story, yeah.
Keeps you heavy, keeps you down there.
I love it. It's she like says. My crack.
Yeah. if you want to cry, this is probably a musical if you want to really get into it. It is pretty tragic. There is a huge cast, over 20 people, all named as well.
Mm.
Lots of songs. The first act itself is over 20 songs long.
Yes.
Big sing.
Yeah, big sing. So, yeah.
It's like the Les Mis of the South.
They should put that on their poster.
Yeah.
You know, or not.
Or not. All right. Well, if you're happy, shall we continue on and talk about the lessons that Parade teaches us?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, who wants to start? There's a lot of lessons in this musical.
Well, we all literally just heard me learn one, and that was about Oak Trees.
Oh, dear.
I think we all know that it's not safe to be a minority in the South.
Yeah.
That's pretty clear.
Probably not a good idea.
Particularly in the state of Georgia.
Yeah. I think this musical does have a lot to say, and not explicitly, about mob justice and that mentality of just because you think someone's guilty, you get angry if they are not found guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think mobs might make me angry too, actually.
I felt so a bit of that.
I really felt a bit of that just then, Zane. I felt a bit of your mob anger.
Yeah. I mean, it is the whole way through. And I think, that's really one of my buttons that'll get me raging pretty quickly. So that's really what I took away from this. This is a great exploration of that mob justice and how a community really just throws reason to the wind to make themselves feel better that justice, in inverted commas, is being done when really who are they sacrificing to have that feeling themselves.
Mm.
But also, it shows a side of humanity that sometimes we just like being angry at someone.
Absolutely.
We just need someone to blame. And that's where that whole mob thing, it's like, oh, good, the attention's off me. I'm going to be mad at someone else because this other person did something wrong and you don't look at my sins for a second.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think also in terms of the story that you get from Jim Connolly, the reporter, who basically kind of, you know, he's going around and digging up dirt on Leo, trying, you know, to like really, because I guess in terms of the story, his tabloids are failing and he really wants to like, you know, find this new dirty story, which is going to get publicity for himself. And so I guess his story arc is a lesson about how people can be incredibly selfish and destructive in order to better themselves. So I think that's also like an interesting pull away from like a minor character in the story as well. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And also on like a little bit of a simpler note, like, you can't believe everything you hear.
Mm.
Like how has this been filtered before it's come to
Unless
you?
Unless you were there.
Yeah.
Maybe don't go around hanging people.
Well, and I think it might.
On oak trees.
It might be something.
Importantly.
It might be JRB commenting on this, but a lot of like the testimony songs are actually presented as a little bit ridiculous. Mm. Like him. I can't remember the name of the song right now. The one where he's basically telling the story of how he saw Leo with the girl, and how that is, it feels in the music that it's clear that he's making this up. Mm. This isn't real.
Yeah.
Is that, who sings that? Hugh?
It might be.
Hugh's the prosecutor.
Oh, well then maybe not.
It's one of the witnesses.
It's not Newt, is it? He was the one that found the girl. He was the worker that found the girl.
Newt Lee's testimony.
That's literally what it's called.
Yeah. I just brought up the list on my screen. I was quickly scrolling down to try and find it. I think the power of a good song, there's a lot of great songs, both from Leo and Lucille, expressing their feelings, because they don't have a lot of plot. The plot is happening to them. It's you get the emotion in this show from Leo and Lucille.
Mm. Yeah, You Don't Know This Man is just an all-time fave of mine.
Oh, there it is.
Love it.
We had money on it before you came.
Which one was your favorite?
I was like, I don't know if she's gonna bring it to us for You Don't Know This Man, or if it's for My Child Will Forgive Me.
No, it's definitely You Don't Know This Man. Yeah. So whoever had the money on that.
That was me.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And that's my pick as well. That's the one that you hear, well, that I hear in auditions the most.
Yeah.
Because it is such, it gives you so much to play with emoting wise.
I just have an interesting story as well, just like completely random.
Absolutely.
So I was doing like a masterclass in New Zealand at the beginning of this year, and I actually got to work with a teacher who worked at the con while Jason Barry Smith came and worked with the kids. And one of the girls chose You Don't Know This Man. And he said to her, there's one line in it, and he's like, this is the only time you'll ever see Lucille's doubt in his innocence.
Yeah.
And I was like,
so you've got to hit that one line.
Wow. Just one line, you get to show that, and then you've got to be like back in your character, like back into that, you know, he's definitely innocent, you know. Well, I thought that was an interesting story. I don't know about you.
No, it is. And I think that goes back to JRB's writing
style.
He's
such a clever writer.
In his the dialogue, the internal monologue that he puts into his songs is so intricate and so important for actors to pay attention to.
Mm.
Which is funny, because the song I really love from this show is, it's in his orchestration is why I love it. That is My Child Will Forgive Me.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's all in the orchestration of that song that it tells the story. And I'm like, it's just so dang pretty.
Any other lessons?
Well,
so many.
I mean, mine sound really schmaltzy in comparison to what you guys have written. I put down, don't take for granted the people who will do anything for you, because you never know how much time you have left with them.
Yeah.
True.
And I think, you know, that's what Frank learns with Lucille, you know. Mm. She moves heaven and earth just to prove his innocence, and then the next day he's gone.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, and it was snatched from him that quickly.
So I've been watching a lot of Crime Watch Daily at the moment, so I didn't really learn that from Parade. But guys, if I'm ever suspected of a murder, my YouTube history looks real sus.
Oh no. Well, I mean, I learned stuff about the actual political ramifications of this of this story that I didn't. I did not know that the KKK was defunct.
Oh yeah, no.
Until this, and then they came back around because of the hysteria surrounding this,
and
case.
Still exist.
Still exist now
to this day.
Yep. But it's a scary so do the Jewish in. Civil rights and the Anti-Defamation League. So there was some good that came from the reaction to the reaction.
Well, do you but know also- that Alfred Urey actually got to meet the great niece of Mary Fagan, the victim?
Really?
She went along to a high school production of the show. Oh. In the town the lynching happened.
No.
Oh, wow.
That is not the production you want her to see.
No. That's not the production you want to go along to.
Or even put on.
Yeah.
What teacher did that to the students?
Well, he must have been invited, I would think.
He must have been.
And then they're like, I know a good idea. Let's invite.
Hey, you know what we'll do next year? Spring Awakening. No. Adult version.
Right. Yep. Okay.
I mean, that's all according to Playbill, but that's what they suggested.
It would be.
I can't imagine a high school doing this
show.
Surely
you have to have a permission slip for that.
I mean, of course you would have to. Yes, you wouldn't just spring it on parents. But also, like, that's big stuff.
You don't want to see children do that.
All right. Well, that's another lesson I learned.
That we all just learned apart from Jess.
Anything else we want to throw in before we move on to the Dreamcast?
Any more schmaltz?
Well, I do have another interesting fact.
Oh, yes.
I'll bring up if I could just like slip this one in.
Yeah, slip it in.
So we all know that Lucille was like gung-ho believing in Leo's innocence the whole
time. Apart from that one line. Yep.
Apart from the one line where she doubted him in the show. But in real life, so she swore black and blue to his innocence forever.
Mm.
But when she died, she actually requested to be cremated and have her ashes spread in a park, which is not the Jewish custom. And she's a very devout Jewish woman.
Like, that's very scary.
She, you know, the custom is that they get buried beside their husband. Yes, they have to be buried, you know, full body intact.
But also, there's a whole heap of things surrounding after the burial. So 1 year after you have your headstone revealed and you place stones at their grave every year, then on.
Yeah.
So their grave is a really big thing in Jewish culture.
Yeah. Huge. She went, and a lot of people believe that was because she found something or realized something. So the plot thickens.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that if is a you were coming here to figure out whether or not Frank was innocent, I think you're going to go away unsatisfied. But let's get on to some cheerier subjects with who we're going to put in the Dreamcast. All right, should we start with Leo or should we start with Lucille?
Lucille, always. Okay, I love Lucille. Her. I love her.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, Lucille.
Meryl Streep.
Good name.
I'm joking.
What are you, bro?
I have a pick. I have a very strong pick.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's Dang. Very... No, well, that's the thing. I don't think I can.
Well, no, you can't. Well, you can, but you can't.
I can. Mm-hmm. I can do it. And I think in my ideal production...
Okay, here we go.
Audra McDonald would be Lucille.
Oh, my God, yes!
I was actually thinking that in my head,
I thought of that so
too.
Many times. I'm like, can we suspend disbelief
can
for a moment?
Can we, and in a show
just
that
one red hot second.
That we are talking about... discrimination against Jewish people and African Americans.
Yes, because there are a lot of racial slurs.
A lot of them. And I think maybe you would undermine the production a little bit by doing that kind of casting.
Yes.
Yeah. So
not because I don't want to see it, because I don't.
Yeah, I mean,
I really
do. In a post-racial society where we're just looking at the story and the politics behind it, I think Audra McDonald would be such a great Lucille, and I'd love to hear her sing and see her act
Same.
It.
Yeah.
But I think in a realistic dream production, she wouldn't
Yeah.
She wouldn't be Lucille.
And white face is frowned upon.
Yes. Yep. Yes. So I think I just wanted to get that out there.
I knew you had to get it out. Yeah. I could see it boiling in you.
Yeah.
I do have a pick for Lucille.
Oh, yes?
Laura Benetti.
Okay.
Yeah, she was one of mine that I was considering.
Yeah.
I just wondered if she didn't have, I mean, yeah, she would.
She got everything.
The balls for the.
Yeah.
The,
yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen her in, I think it's called Detour, the TV show?
No.
With Ed Helm? No. No, she plays a cop.
Oh
yeah,
Laura.
Yeah,
no, I do love her. She got the stuff. Considering.
Yeah.
So, what about you, Jess? You obviously have a few. Strong feelings.
Yeah, like I agree with both of those, and those were like two that I was considering, but I was like, oh no, I don't know if I can. But one that I thought that I would be really interested to see was Jessie Mueller.
Yeah, all right.
Because if you heard her in Carousel, you know she can do everything as well.
Yeah, she can literally do whatever she wants. Anything in my books.
Yeah.
I just like had a moment. I think Laura Benanti actually played Lucille in a concert version with Jeremy Jordan.
Oh, hang on. Let me check.
Oh, wow.
I'll check.
Yeah, where Jeremy Jordan was old mate Leo.
That's interesting because I was having a discussion with my husband about who should play Leo and I was like, no, Jeremy Jordan's too pretty.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
Jeremy Jordan as Leo, Laura Benanti as Lucille in the Avery Fisher Hall concert in 2015.
So what we're really saying is here that I should be a casting director?
Sure.
For Broadway. I'm out. I'm done. Okay, bye guys.
Laura Benanti would be great. This is a little out of left field and I know she's a little polarizing.
Mm. Are you gonna say it?
Are you gonna say what?
Are you gonna say that name, the one that starts with an S?
That name. No, okay, not great. Sutton. Not Sutton. I don't.
Thank you.
I mean,
Sutton could do it, but I don't think she would be perfect for this specific
vocally,
role.
Vocally, could she do it?
Yeah.
I think
vocally she could, but I just think that this is not her type of character.
I would like to see Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Catherine.
You have piqued my interest, yes.
Yeah, I think she would be great in this particular role.
I would not say no to that.
Yeah.
Right. I was expecting a little bit of resistance, but
No way.
No, she can.
I wanted to see her in more musical movies after Chicago. Yeah. I was just like, why have we not acknowledged how brilliant that woman is?
Mm.
Like, she was amazing.
And then maybe seeing Renee Zellweger in a little less.
Yes. Yes.
Although, still waiting to see what she's like as Judy. TBA.
Yeah. We'll see. Shall we move on to Leo?
Yeah. That's the next logical step.
No.
No strong feelings?
I do, but I can't get it out of my mouth because I can't think of his name.
Oh.
Give me a red hot second.
10 questions.
Who is the guy that plays the bard?
The bard?
The bard.
In Something Rotten.
Christian Ball.
Thank you.
That's a good choice.
Yeah.
That is a really good choice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Totally.
No, you're all welcome. It's what I do. I'm a casting director for Broadway.
Well, good. I mean, we're obviously not going strictly Jewish here.
No. I think as long as.
Must be a.
I mean,
let me see your penis.
The pants are on, so we don't need to worry too much.
It's scary that we both went there at the same time.
I think, I'm sorry, I went there after you went there to kind of brush that one to the side.
That's what she said.
I think because there have been instances where Leo has been played by non-Jewish actors. Mm. I think it's fine. Mm-hmm. Because Jeremy Jordan, to my knowledge, is not Jewish. I kind of like, and I've been bringing him up a lot lately, Jake Gyllenhaal.
You have been bringing him up a whole bunch. Mm. You are on a Gyllenhaal train.
I am.
Straight to Jake Gyllenhaal station.
He's not Audra McDonald.
Good. No, he's not.
In pants. But I think this sort of role, this tortured role, because it is in some ways characterized similarly to George in Sunday in the Park.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you might just also have a slight crush on Jake Gyllenhaal at the moment.
No, that's not true.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can say definitively not true.
Yeah, I see my pick would have – I had three. Are we able to suspend disbelief for a second and go back in time for a moment?
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Of course.
Chip Zine, is it?
Yeah, Chip Zine.
Yeah, Chip Zine from
Zien.
Yeah, from Into the Woods.
Yeah. Yeah, way or, back. Or also 25th Annual Putnam County. Like, he's done heaps of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think he would play really well.
Yeah.
What is he doing now? Is he...
I don't know, but he's too old to play it now. I think yeah, he's like
he,
in
would
his
be,
70s.
He would be 70-something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just thought, oh, he would be fabulous. Otherwise, Anthony Rapp.
Oh,
Anthony
yeah.
Rapp would be great.
Ooh.
Yeah.
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 Because I just think he's got that twitchy, like insecure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awkward
like
as heck.
Awkward yeah. vibe to him.
While yeah. we're suspending disbelief, let's just pop it in there. Zac Efron's going to be awful.
Oh, he's so hot right now.
He is so hot
Zac
all the time.
Efron. Shouldn't be Leo. Zac Efron. No. There is a place Frankie. For Zac Efron in this musical.
Is there?
Jim Conley?
Yeah. Or like one of the crazy people.
Great.
Yeah.
Love
like I honestly, I do not care about the casting of pretty much anyone except Leo and Lucille. because they're the only ones that carry any emotional gravitas for me.
Mm-hmm.
Who has their shirt off the most? I did it for the, sorry, audio medium again, but I did it for the face that he made.
what about Norbert Leo Butts?
Butts.
Ooh, bit old now though, eh?
He is aging out of it, I will say. Mm. But if we're going back a little bit in time.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, when he was younger, yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That was a hiccup.
Or, like, I don't know, this one could be controversial, but Josh Groban.
That is controversial. I hate it.
I'm not, I don't think, I've never really associated him with. Nope. Oh, no, because Groban did.
Great Comet.
And he went into Waitress, didn't he?
He went into Waitress?
Did he not? What did he go into after Comet? He went from Comet to something.
I don't know. Hang on.
Well, he was in Chess.
Josh,
maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Groban.
Well, because I mean, like, if you were to have like a Dina Lucille,
yeah,
like, but not now. Yeah, yeah. Going back to her Chess era,
yeah, yeah.
You know, Josh Groban would work for your Leo.
Hmm.
All right, anyone else we want to just throw in there?
Every time I listen to the recording now, I'm going to want to hear Audra McDonald. Like, can we just do like a sound recording with her?
Just
like,
a concert. Just a if you'd, or I think you could do a concert.
Past recording, sorry.
Hey, Audra, it's Josh. Hey, I've got a really great idea. You know,
Josh,
just come over to my place. Actually, you know, Zane's apartment. He's got all the mic gear and everything. We're going to do a recording.
I am not set up for this recording.
We'll make it happen.
I will say, Audra, if you're listening, and we do tweet every episode to Audra's account.
Oh, sure, you really?
Audra, we love you.
She is brought up most episodes. Not as often as Zac Efron, I will say, because I don't try to force her into musicals. She's not.
Sometimes you
be
have
part
to
of.
Just ram Zac on in there.
All right. Okay. I think are we kind of out?
Okay, of, just one more.
Yeah.
Ollie O'Hara.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. That's pretty. Yeah. Oh, yes. Good casting, guys.
Mm.
All right. Cast done. Let's go on to top five lists. All right, who wants to start us off on top five?
Me, pick me.
Julie.
Julie's going to go for the obvious one.
Top five musicals with some factory setting.
Willy Wonka, Les Miserables,
Pajama Game.
What I loved most about that was that watching Julie do the quick math not to do the obvious one and pick something about this musical.
No, that's the one I wanted. I don't know what the obvious one is.
I thought you were going to go top five JRB.
Oh, well, yeah, there's that. But I had always wanted to do Factory because... Factory. Yeah. And it's not their first time we've brought up top five Factory musicals.
I mean, Les Mis is on that list.
Mm-hmm. We just listed them.
Okay.
We did all
attention.
Of them. Yes, thank you.
Les Miserables, Willy Wonka, The Pajama Game.
That's Parade.
Parade.
What's the other one?
Oh, come on. We've got to get five.
It's got to be
fifth
one.
Surely we can
one.
Get a fifth one that's in a factory.
Somewhere where there's a factory.
Come on, you guys. Kinky boots.
Kinky boots!
We got to five.
I'm so disappointed in myself.
I'm not. I hate kinky boots.
All right. Okay. So any top fives? Jos? Jay?
I reckon top five for sobering banger belt songs. Because there are
sobering name the other four. Belt
songs. I mean, I think we're Jess is here. Like, surely you could name a few banger belt songs.
Name the other four. No, oh. Sobering.
Sobering.
Yeah, they, yeah.
Banger belts.
Oh, well, like following the Les Mis trend, I guess you got A Dream to Dream, but that's controversial because not everyone loves to belt it.
No,
well, it's not a banger belt.
No,
no.
Because I'm thinking of like This Is Not Over Yet. All the waste of time.
Don't Cry Out Loud.
Mm.
Could be a banger belt.
Mm. And then I guess like the opening, I guess it's not technically belted, but that is a banger opening number. Old Red Hills.
Yes, the old
one.
Oh,
that is a banger of a time, that one.
Yeah.
I think maybe we'll throw this list out on social media to see what our fans have to say about what actually classifies a sobering banger belt. But yeah, I do think it should belong on there somewhere.
I'm going to go straight to my Spotify after this and kick myself because I'm going to be like, all of these are banger belt sobering songs.
She used to be mine. From Waitress.
Yeah.
Sobering
banger belt.
I did it.
Indeed.
I'm thinking Miss Saigon.
Oh,
Ellen
you're like,
song.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not the one I was thinking.
Which one are you thinking?
I was thinking.
Now that I've seen her.
Yeah.
I was thinking the one she sings to a child.
Yeah. The one, like, you mean Kim right at the end?
Kim sings to Tam.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why or your daddy's think? Eyes from Ragtime.
That sounds dirty. Sorry, it's just the word daddy. We've had this conversation on a different podcast.
I will say, just to give you a little bit of context, this is the song she's singing to her child as she's burying it alive because she can't support it.
Oh. I really should listen to Ragtime.
It is an amazing musical. And I think it would also appear on my next top five list, which is top five American history musicals.
Mm. So not Civil War by Frank Wildhorn?
No. I love Frank Wildhorn, but he is a guilty pleasure for me. Mm-hmm. I like him because he writes great songs for tenors and they're super fun to sing.
Mm-hmm.
But I admit that the majority of his shows are very difficult to put on and enjoy as entire texts.
Mm-hmm.
This has been the Frank Wildhorn Hour with Zane C. Weber. Let's move back to the top five lists of Parade, shall we? Because I do think Ragtime would be on that list, possibly. Bloody Buddy Andrew Jackson, Hamilton would probably be on there.
There's probably a few sobering bangers in there too.
There's 1776. There's a lot of American history musicals, but I definitely think Parade would be top five easily.
Yep.
Yeah. That was going to be one of mine, but I was going to be like super broad and be like historical events. And I'm like, oh,
that's very broad.
You could put Cats on that one.
No.
What else do Cats do when we're not watching?
Well,
I mean, historical? I mean,
they are records of things Cats have done.
Top five murder trials.
Yeah, top five. Yeah.
Legally Blonde.
Oh, yes.
Chicago.
Yes. Oh, stop it.
Great times. Les Mis goes back on that.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
This is a very different musical to everything else on that list.
Les Mis. I just listed Les Mis.
Les Mis is very different to Parade.
Yeah, Les Mis compared to Parade is just a great time.
I mean, it does have the Thénardiers in it.
Well, that's what I was just thinking is maybe the reason Parade's not as successful because they don't have Thénardiers.
You're welcome.
Any other top fives? I would like to put Lucille's song on top five female emotional ballads.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's a big list.
But that is
a scary list.
A great song. Mm. So maybe we'll throw that one out as well because I'd love to hear everyone else's top fives for that
one. Dude, I just scheduled the post, but okay.
For this one? Yeah. All right, good. Anything else? I'm trying to think of music-related ones because this JRB...
Top five duets sung by a married couple. There's some in Ladies in Black, just
There's also one of my favourite couple songs ever in Hairspray from
Yes!
And
oh my gosh, yes!
Good call on that one. I do love that song.
Yeah. You're timeless to me.
Yeah.
Company? No. Yes?
Do any of the couples have a duet?
That's what I'm trying to think.
The Thénardiers have a duet.
Yeah, we do. Best love story ever. That's what that belongs to.
Love in inverted commas.
True love.
I think there's a lot of how to phrase this, like best exposition songs. Because JRB,
all of them. Yeah.
JRB does a really good job of making it not feel like an exposition dump.
Yeah,
in a lot of these songs, particularly the newspaper songs and the testimony songs. Mm.
You're really good at like pulling out these like stagecrafty kind of like angles, aren't you? That was a compliment.
Yeah, it sounded like a complaint.
Yeah, no. That was 100% a compliment because like when you said that, I was like, oh my gosh, I never would have thought that, but that's 100% true. And I never, because that's a lot of his, that's just like all of his musicals in general. Just like, here's me telling you a whole bunch of information about stuff that is happening to me right in this second or in my past. But... yeah.
Whereas opposed to someone like Wildhorn, where the plot happens in the story and the songs are just about character emotion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Over
exactly.
And over again.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure exactly how to actually define that list, but I think it deserves to be mentioned.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. Anything else? Anything else for top fives? Is that it? All right. Well, we'll take a little break and then we'll come back with our goodbyes. Well, thank you very much, Jess, for joining us for the very first time.
Thank you for having me.
And for bringing Parade.
It is.
Sherry Pops.
because Parade is one of those that I've been wanting someone to bring for a long time. Yes. Because it doesn't get talked about enough.
Mm. No.
Because, again, it just didn't hit. Mm. And it should. Difficult. I still can't believe that a high school put it on.
But has it been done in Australia?
Yeah, that's
professionally?
What I was going
to ask. Yes,
it has in Melbourne.
Oh, really?
Early 2000s, I believe.
You believe?
Yes, because I was involved with a company that was looking at doing it in the early 2010s.
Mm. Okay. Because I just wondered if maybe it might have a better reception. Like in Australia, we don't shy away as much from controversy.
Well, so it's how
for better or for worse.
Well, maybe it used to be Hal Leonard. It's not there anymore. Awkward.
Maybe it's not available. Because I do think that there at some point there was talk of a movie as well. But I that was, again, many years ago. Mm. Jess, thanks for joining us. Is there anything you'd like to let our audience know that you're doing and to check out?
Yeah, I mean... I'd love if people could go check out Ladies in Black, which opens August 3rd and closes on September 7th. It's a great show. It's an Australian musical, so you're going to hear lots of Aussie accents, which I think is so rare in musical theatre.
So
rare.
It's super
so
hard
fun.
To do. I hate it.
It's really difficult.
hurts my throat.
Yeah, but I think we've got a great cast, and I definitely think... I think people will love it.
And that's Brisbane Arts Theatre.
It's Brisbane Arts Theatre, yeah. Yep.
Jinx again.
So we'll put links to tickets in the show notes.
Yep. And and also maybe check out Attack of the Cat People, the film. Have a look at the Facebook page and see what it's all about.
Yeah, so we'll put a link there because we don't know when it's actually being released. Is that correct?
That is correct at this point. Yes. Yep.
We will put the cat people in the show notes.
Excellent.
Okay, well, things are very quickly degrading here in the studio. So if you want to find out more about us, you can find us on Facebook, you can find us on Twitter, and you can find us on Instagram. Also, our website is thatsnotcanon.com/MTMEIK. And if you want to become one of the best people in the entire world, you can go and donate to our Patreon.
Oh, they are the best people in the entire world.
They are the
world.
Best people in the entire world. And we love getting all their opinions on stuff as well. We post lots of things on there. We do at least one extra episode for our Patreons a month, usually a top five episode. Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm just thinking that we haven't recorded them in a while, so we might be recorded
like
thin.
14 in a couple of weeks.
Oh, did we?
Yes.
Oh, sweet. We're good. For a year.
There's a lot scheduled up there, and they're lots of fun. I like hearing from you people as well.
And I like doing them.
that's it for this week. Thank you, Josh, for being one of our super hosts.
Woo-hoo! Guys, thank you for having me once again.
What a super host.
And we'll be speaking to you again next week about Oklahoma.
Okay.
With an exclamation mark.
Exactly. And if there isn't an exclamation mark, it really isn't Oklahoma by Rodgers and Hammerstein, is it?
No, it's Oklahoma by Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh.
There was like a moment, it's like he did a production. It's like
joke. No, he didn't. I made a funny joke. So joke. Always remember to rate and review on your podcatcher of choice. iTunes, doing it on iTunes really helps get us out there. We are available on Spotify. And most importantly, tell all of your musical loving friends that we exist and they should listen to us.
True, true.
We have a backlog of almost 100 episodes that you can go back and listen to. And jeez, as soon as we get over 100, they're going to start dropping off iTunes and Spotify. You'll only get it on our website then. So
good heavens.
Get on it now.
I will.
Tell all your musical friends and we'll catch you next time. I've been Zane C. Weber here with
Julie Eisentrager
and
Joshua Tia.
And thank you one final time to
Jess Ham.
Very we'll see you all next time, everyone.
Bye.
Ciao for now.
So, what should I listen to now?
We are Castology. This is our podcast about podcasts. We are your castologists, Patrick Shearer,
Liz Best,
and Zane C. Weber.
Each week, we'll bring you three of the best and sometimes not so best podcasts around. We'll also do the hard work and trawl the RSS feeds to find the newest podcast that should be on your radar.
And then next week, we come back and tell you what we thought of the recommendations and bring three new sparkling podcasts to check out.
Now, will we always agree with each other's picks?
Probably not. But hey, you're clever. You know that's how reviews work.
We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcatcher of your choice.
That's Not Kind of Productions podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.